my Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. This is Apostle Ernestine Cooper, Life Construction Zone, here with a heart and a mind to build up or rebuild the body of Christ with every brick that we can find from the Word of God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, in my soul I cry out hallelujah, and I thank God for saving me. I'm so grateful to God for salvation today, as I know many of you are. Glory to God, amen. We're trusting in the Lord for daily provisions and for just life in general, praise God. When we look around and see all the things that are going on today, we know that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, amen, where would we be? So it's time for us in this day, in these last days, is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. I don't know what you call him, but I call him Lord. Amen. And if it had not been for him on our side, where would we be? He is a well of water down on the inside of me, praise God, bubbling up. Amen. Glory to God, flowing over, and he has never failed me yet. Amen. David said, I am old when I was young. Glory to God, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And thank God for being the seed of God. Amen. May not be a multimillionaire, amen, but every need is met. And to that, I give God the glory. Amen. Glory to God. Because God don't want his people walking in the dark. And because he don't want us walking in the dark, amen, he has said his word, amen, on every facet of learning, praise God, amen. The word is there, praise God, amen, whereby there no one can be lost. Even a fool could not err, praise God, amen. So we thank God, amen, for that. We just came to share a little bit with you tonight, amen. There is one thing, we're talking about this one thing that we might like, amen. There is a shortness in most of us, amen. Thank God for the flesh, praise God, but thank God more for the spirit, amen. And the spirit gives life, amen. So thank God for his spirit that gives us life. So we want to talk a little bit from the book of St. Mark, amen, chapter 8 and then chapter 10. And then St. Mark chapter 8. If we read from 7-8, from the 8th, starting at the 34th verse, it reads, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And when you do benefit, if you gain the whole world, then you're going to lose your own soul. Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me, he began to say, and my message, in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And then we move to the 10th chapter, verse 17, chapter 10, verse 17, and it reads, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, and he knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you already know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. And you must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell, the scripture says, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Glory to God. And the scripture clearly states it'll be hard. They won't mean that they won't enter in, but it's kind of hard for people that love wealth to enter into the kingdom of God, because it's hard for them to give up that wealth. And so if we back up to the 8th chapter, Jesus was ministering and teaching his disciples about following him. And if we stand the following of Christ, when the rich man asked him, he said, "What must I do?" It's not like he was asking him this because he didn't know the answer. He'd already known the answer. Jesus had been preaching for a while in that area. And so repent and turn from your sins. So he already knows that. It was a rhetorical question. He really didn't need an answer. So ever since the time of Moses, the answer has always been the same. God said, keep my commandments. Keep the commandments. Obey the Lord. Jesus told the man, you know the commandments. Do them. So sometimes we ask the obvious, and the reason is that we are subconsciously hoping for the answer to come back, and that answer will come back to fit our choice of lifestyle. And today we have a group of people that wants the word to fit around our lifestyle, and we don't want to conform to the word, but that won't work. So this man thought that if he fell down on his knees and flattered the Lord, good master, you know, he said to him, and Jesus been getting to tell me, good, you don't know good. You know, I tell him, you don't know good. There's only one good, and that's the Father. I'm just paraphrasing here. And I can imagine in my mind, amen, the man thinking, okay, there's something else I can do because I got all this wealth, and this man going to tell me to give up my wealth. The only way to favor with God is to obey his commandments. Jesus said, whoever will come, let him come. Take up his cross and follow me. You have to be willing. You have to be willing to go through. You have to be willing to suffer. Again, when I think about James and John's mother, the sons of Zebedee, when their mother asked if Jesus could sit with him on his right and his left when he's in his kingdom, and Jesus said to her, that's not for my decision to make. But I can't ask you this, if they're willing to drink of the same cup that I drink of and be baptized with the same baptism. This is not an easy journey. Never was meant to be. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. Do you got to let go of some things? Do you ain't say, well, you know, I've let go of this, I let go of that, but there's some things, you know, you have to wait a while. You have to work your way out of it. That anything that's bringing destruction to you, you let it go. You turn it loose in a minute. If you touch a hot iron, you let go and drop it. You're not going to hold it and say, let me hold on to that heat for a little while and just see what kind of damage it's going to do. You know, maybe it won't burn me that bad. You feel that heat on your hand, you're going to drop it. It's just it's the same way with breaking the laws of God or turning and walking away from God or trying to figure a way in. People don't want to give up the world. And when you love the world, it's hard to loose yourself from it. And so when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, then the people that he called around him, he said, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up, if you try to hang on to the lifestyle that you're living now, if you know, I want to serve the Lord, but how about I just give him Sunday? How about I just give him some of my time? But all time belongs to God. God doesn't have time because the Bible says one day is as 1,000 years unto the Lord, 1,000 years is one day. So if everything falls on time in our life, it's for us. We're the ones that are here for an appointed time. There's a time to live and a time to die. Until our time to die, we're here. And Jesus said, occupy until I come. And some of us are not really occupying. We're just existing. And just going through the motions, glory to God. But God has set these things on this earth for our pleasure, but they're not to have us. We're to have things, but things are not to have us. And so the rich man had liked the one thing, and I'm sure that's one thing in your life that you can say, well, you know what, I'm good, I've done, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm churching, I'm doing everything that a child of God is supposed to do. But there's always one thing. It probably with some of us it may be more, but I know there's one thing that you like, amen, that your reason you can't have that contact or that closeness with God that you desire to have when you feel like your prayer life is at a standstill and you don't have that unction or that desire to go serve the Lord or go to church like you used to. And when you're in church, you're basically looking for ways out of church. You know, like, I wish they'd hurry up with this word, you know, that whoever the preacher is, what is he saying or what is she saying? Get to the point. I'm out of here. I've already put my time in. Now it's time for me to go and do my thing and putting God on the back burner. Well, Jesus said, I mean, you got to, everything in God has to come first. And the first thing is that we have to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our mind, and all our soul. If you love God, you're going to serve him with your whole heart, mind, soul. You're going to give him everything you have. Is going to belong to God. Your heart, your mind. We sing this song, my body belongs to God, my mind and my heart, but yet you give your body to another that's not your husband or that's not your wife, and you say my body belongs to God. And the Apostle Paul said fornication defiles the temple of God, and yet you do that. You say my whole heart and my whole mind belongs to God, and yet your mind is on things that are not conducive to holiness. When Isaiah said, I was setting no wicked thing before my eyes, you're sitting up watching pornography and having a taste for things that are out of the will of God, things that even destroy the temple, drugs and alcoholism and promiscuity, all kinds of things that defiles the temple. But yet you say, my body belongs to God. And so to understand that giving up means to give in, give it all to the Lord. Verse 36, he said, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What in the world? The Bible said, God said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. If all souls belong to the Lord and you lose that soul, thank him for his permissive will. Glory to God. Amen. He doesn't force us to serve him. It's like having a husband or a wife or a fiance or whatever the case, and you're prepared to get married, or you're already married, and you understand that this person only loves you because you forced them. It was a shotgun wedding, or you bribed them, or whatever the case. Maybe you had something over their head, and there's no real love there, but they're with you for whatever the case may be. Some of them may be with you for money. Maybe you're a rich person. And you're married, and that person married you just for the money, just so they can have things that they desire in this world. There's no love there. Who wants to be in a relationship where there is no real love? You can say the things you want to say just because you think it makes you feel good. But without love, you already know that there's nothing. There's no life together. And everybody needs to be loved, I mean real love. And so this is our God. I mean, he loves us too. I mean, without condition, but with our wretched selves, he still loves us in spite of who we are. Not that we're lovable, but because he is a lover, amen. And he's a lover of his creation, and we are a part of his creation. We're his creatures, and we're his children. He called us his children, and he said he will be a father to us. And children don't disobey their father, although today, you know, in today's world, they do, but. A child that loves their dad and loves their mom, loves their parents, and according to the scripture, obedient, obeying their parents. And that child will do most anything they can to please their parents. Okay, no, my parents, I was raised better than this. My parents don't allow that. I'm not going to do it. Well, you're an adult now, but it's still wrong, so I'm not going to do it. So as our father said, you want things. You want material possessions. You want this woman's husband and this man's wife. You covet other people's property, other people's things. You take those away from them. And so now you're saying you want Christ to. You put your possessions higher, because when he told them, he said, you got to set your sights on things above. If anyone, he said, is ashamed of me and the message that I preach, glory to God, amen, that you got to repent. And turn to God, turn to Christ, repent and turn from your sins. People don't say that much today. Repent of your sins, turn to the Lord. But folks, you don't hear that much anymore today. How can you be saved? How can you be a child of the living God if you still have hatred, malice, jealousy, lasciviousness, uncleanness within you? If you still have all kinds of wicked things within you, not even trying to make a change, not even trying to better yourself. You're like the wicked person that you are, and yet on the other hand, you say, I'm a Christian, but Christians mean to be Christ-like. And so Jesus himself talking to this man, and when he told him, he said, thou knowest the commandments. And like I said, sometimes we ask the obvious. And the reason is that we subconsciously, we are hoping and within us, just praying within us that the answer will come back to what we want, the lifestyle, and try to make things fit our choices. And in God, it won't, because Jesus said, God said that my ways are as far from your ways as the east is from the west. We don't think like him. He said, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, and my ways are not like your ways. And I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad that God is not a flesh being. I'm so glad that our God, who created us, glory to God, amen, is not like us, glory to God. So he is so different from us. He is so full of love and compassion for his people, and this is what he desires. Glory to God. Amen. If you are a kind-hearted person, you want to love back and you want to give back. You don't always want to be a taker. Give me. Gotta have. It's all about me and it's all about my. Glory to God. Amen. But it's not. And just like Jesus told the rich man, that's one thing that you like it. We flip-flop over to the rich man in chapter 10. Glory to God. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, he said a man came running up to him and fell down and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit kingdom of God? I want to inherit eternal life. I want to be in the bosom of Abraham. In other words, I want to be in the Father's house. I want to sit with you on the right hand of wherever heaven is, I want to be there. So what must I do? And the first thing Jesus said to him was, why are you calling me good? First of all, there's only one good but God. So you're flattering the wrong person. Give your praise and your worship, in other words, to the Father. But anyway, to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anymore. Or cheat anyone. And you got to honor your father and your mother. In today's life and society, young people do not honor their fathers and their mothers. They don't honor adults, period. There's no respect and no regard for adults, for seniors, or for older. I mean, the kids think they're as grown or as old as their parents. They're not working anywhere. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not paying bills. But most of the kids are running their household. They're running their lives. And when they grow up to be useless, actually, without work, without career, without a desire to improve or a desire to grow and become somebody. And you wonder why, because as a child, they were not taught morals. They were not taught scruples. They just did whatever they wanted to, and the parents let them. And the man said to Jesus, I've obeyed all the commandments since I was young. And Jesus just looked at him. So he said unto him, there's still one thing. There's still one thing. If you think about it, there is still one thing. What is that one thing that you haven't done yet to get yourself in line with the word of God? It's time for you as a whole to line up with the word of God. What is that one thing? The only way to get favor with God is to obey him. Jesus said, whoever will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And with that cross, I mean, it comes a crown. Glory to God, amen. But you got to bear the cross. Songwriter wrote, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there is a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. No, glory to God, he's not going to bear that cross alone. Glory to God, amen. So we have to be made and we have to be molded. And there are some things that God allows to happen in our lives to bring us into right standing to him, or to wake us up. Sometimes we're walking blind, glory to God, and we're thinking it's okay and it's not okay. And we're wondering why things are not working on the road in the direction that we're going, because we're off course. And so God has a way of getting us back on course. You have to be willing. You've got to be willing to suffer. James said, the Apostle James said that tribulations come to make us strong, glory to God, amen. So he lets us know that we're going to have tribulations. And God himself said it, glory to God. In Isaiah 43, he said, when you go through the flood, when you go through the fire. So that lets you know right there, you're going to go through something. Not if, he didn't say if you go through, but he said when. In other words, there are going to be some things we go through, but it's refining. It's to put us into the place where we need to be. All gold, all stones have to go through a refining and through a shaping and a burning and a fire to become perfect. And there are some things that we need to burn off in order for us to become perfect in Christ Jesus, glory to God. And so when Jesus began to tell him to stop cheating people and to obey and honor your parents, and he said, I've done all of this. And I can imagine there are some people today that say, I've done all of that. You know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't run around, you know, and I don't steal, I don't, you know, fornicate, I don't gamble. I'm always in church, I'm always praying, I'm always doing that. But there always is that one thing, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. And so what is that one thing in your life today, glory to God, that's holding you up, that one thing that is keeping you, glory to God, from moving on in God? Surely there's something, glory to God, amen, that you can change. I remember some years ago when I was in prayer, in one of my prayer vigils in the Lord, and just praying concerning some situations in the church, and the Lord began to speak to me. He said, the people are disobedient. And I began to reason with God. Sometimes we think we you know, we got it all together and we know it, but we don't know it, praise God, amen. And we're thinking, okay, I got this, you know. But I thought, you know, when God was saying that people are disobedient, in my heart and in my mind, I saw people in the ministry or in the church that I knew were devoted, hardworking, dedicated people. And it kind of puzzled me that the Spirit of the Lord would speak that to me, that the people were disobedient. And I began in my spirit to minister back to the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord just broke into my spirit and said, the people, with such force to let me know, shut your mouth and listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Because when he said the people, that's all of us, that's everybody. He said the people are disobedient, glory to God, even though I'm trying to pick out the goody two shoes or the good ones. But there, like Jesus said, there's none good but the Father, praise God, amen. And being disobedient, glory to God, it will hinder a lot of the growth and a lot of things that we want God to move in. We're going to stay stagnated in that one place and until God moves. He said, well, I'm doing fine. I got plenty of money and this and that and the other. But there's one thing lacking, glory to God, as you might think you're doing fine, but I promise you there's one thing, glory to God, amen, lacking, glory to God, amen, that needs to be fixed. And you know what it is, glory to God, amen. So work on it, praise God, if you want to be with have eternal life, if you want to be with Christ, glory to God. Well, you might say, well, Jesus forgave us. He did. He most certainly did. And our sins are on the cross. Yes, sir, they sure are. Also, glory to God, but the Apostle Paul said to the Hebrews in chapter 10, 26, if you willfully sin, some of you are willfully sinning because you say, I could ask forgiveness and the Lord will forgive me. That one thing that you lack is not total repentance, glory to God, because Lord spoke to me also once in one of my prayer times, and he said, listen, if I come to you and I look within your heart and I see that you had not repented, how then will I know that you had repented? And for a while I studied over that word on my knees there before the Lord. What was he telling me? And then the Lord began to speak to me and let me know, if you tell me that you repented of a thing, and you in your heart you still have a desire to do that thing, but then you haven't repented because the desire is still there. And one thing Jesus said, if whatever's in you is coming out, and you might say, I've repented of it, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm no more a liar, but you have a desire to lie, I'm no more a fornicator, but you have a desire to do it. Eventually, if you don't sanctify yourself, if you don't crucify that flesh in you, guess what? It's coming out after a while. You're going to do this thing. And so if your heart is right with God, then your body is going to follow what's in your spirit. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. So that one thing, if it's in you, it's coming out of you, glory to God, amen. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. People like to say things and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. If it came out of you, it was in you, glory to God, amen. So you meant it. You just didn't mean for me to hear it, but you meant it. So that's why Solomon said you have to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. We think it's okay and we're tough when we come out of our mouth and say things to cut up people, or we always got tit for tat or word for word. There's some things that we need to learn to close our mouths on. You don't have an answer for everything. And you don't even have to answer to everything. Some things you can walk away from. A lot of lives were saved when people walked away. Glory to God. But mouth to mouth and word to word can cause utter destruction. When you're slow to speak and slow to wrath, you can always diffuse the problem. Glory to God. Amen. Before it gets started. So if you willfully commit sin and do it, the Bible said there's no salvation for you in Hebrews 10 and 26. There's no more salvation for you because what you've done is you trample on the blood of Christ. You've trampled it under your feet. And basically what you're saying is, God, your son's blood was not powerful enough to hold me, so I'm going back out there where I was. Let me tell you something else. So we always like to have cliches and sing things and say things that other people say because it sounds good. But if you have the Holy Spirit, the book of Revelation says that in 19 says that we are, the Holy Ghost in us is the spirit of prophecy. You have the Holy Spirit and you're speaking things and you're wondering why stuff is happening over your life. You're telling yourself that I'm going back into the devil's kingdom. People like to say this, I'm going back to the devil's kingdom. Take what he stole from me. Can I please school you on some things? Stop singing that song, because if the devil, if Satan took anything from you, it was already his in the first place. And the thing that he took from you, you want to make sure he keeps it. Lying, stealing, cheating, killing, murdering, whoremonging, homosexuality, lesbianism, whatever the case, it's all out of the will of God. It's all sin. And if he took it from you, you want to let him keep it. Because if you go back into the devil's kingdom, if you go into Satan's abode, you're going into sin. And now you've backslidden. And so you go back out there, you may not make it back. So that's willful sin. That's why when the Apostle Paul said to the Hebrews, now you're willfully breaking God's law. You're willfully falling back into mess, and you're looking up and expecting God to bring. He may not deliver you. I wouldn't take that chance with my salvation, glory to God. People are playing what they call Russian roulette with their lives and with their salvation. Once you get in God, you need to stay in there. Stop putting one foot in and taking one foot out. Today is God and tomorrow is something else. You may not make it back to today if you keep flying on tomorrow. Glory to God, amen. After a while, you'll stop coming. You miss a day. You say, well, I'm not going this week. I'll go next week. And you might come next week. Well, you know, it don't hurt if I miss another week and I'll go next week. You've already been out 7 days. Now you got 14 days, and, you know, well, I'll go. You know what? Well, I got something else I'll do. You know, the Lord knows my heart. Yes, he does. He knows that your heart is far away from him, because the Bible says, God said, people serve me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So he knows that your heart is far from him, because if it was not far from him, you would be serving him. Nobody would have to tell you, get up and go to worship. You couldn't wait to worship day so you can go out and meet with the people of God in corporate worship, glorifying God and hearing a word of God from the set man and woman that he set over you to teach you according to the scriptures. That's the love of God. Amen. So knowing your heart, yes, he does. Our Father knows your heart, and he knows that it's not right. So when you try to justify your reasons for not serving him, it don't make sense. There is no reason. There's no justification. A young man long years ago wrote this song. He used to sing this song in our church. He was there briefly for a while in our membership, and he used to sing this song, there is no excuse for not serving the Lord. And he's so right. There is no excuse. Never were truer words spoken. There is no excuse. Jesus said, if I had not come to you, you would have a cloak, which is a covering for your sins. But now that I come to you and I spoke these words unto you, there's no excuse. You don't have no covering. So you don't have a way out. You can't reason with God. The Bible says everything that we say, every idle word is going to be written down. Your thing is that in life, in this life, is to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and not blotted out. Hello. So we thank God, amen, for the move of God in today. we get scared. This is happening, that is happening. I had one of my students, a little girl, said, I've been having dreams and visions that the world was coming to an end. I think she must be about 8, 9 years old, that the world is coming to the end, Pastor, and things are going to happen to people I love and to my classmates and to the school. And I said to her, darling, begin to pray so that God can reveal even more things to you. We're living in a time when God is revealing things even to the little babes, glory to God, amen. And they need not fear, glory to God, because we teach them the word of God and their love of God, amen, is within them, glory to God. There's no fear, amen, because from this life, the Apostle Paul said, we're absent, we have to be present with the Lord. And so getting back to the rich man, when Jesus looked at him and he said, there's still that one thing, go and sell all of your possessions, give the money to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven. Wow, my God. People are like, whoa, today it's like a get-rich-quick thing now in the churches today, because it's how to get wealth. There's wealth seminars and there's prosperity seminar, and there's a prosperity blessing plan here, and there's one over there, and if you bring this, you're going to get that, and send this, and it's all about prosperity in the natural. But what about spiritual prosperity, having that closeness with God, that if you don't have a dime in the bank, you think on this thing, glory to God. Jesus said you don't even have to ask the Father, because he already knows what you have need of. But if you just think on it, God makes a way out of no way. I live by faith every day, glory to God, amen. All of my needs are met, praise God, amen. Not looking for that wealth, but that spiritual wealth, that closer walk with God. And this is what we have to search for. There's a time when we always looking for wealth, glory to God, amen. But when you seek the Lord, he will get you back on track. He'll put your seeking back in the right direction, because he told Jeremiah, he said, you tell them, they will, if they seek for me, they will find me, if they search for me with their whole heart. You got to put your whole heart into this thing, not the heart that says, you know, I still want to do that. I'm going to give God some of my time, or it's okay, the Lord knows my heart, and all that kind of foolishness and nonsense. But the heart that says, I want to give God everything I got. If I can't sing, if I can't carry a tune in a bucket, I'm still going to sing to the glory of the Lord. Me and the angels are going to sing together to glorify my Father. I don't care what it sounds like to the people, because when I sing it, it's to the glory of God, because it's from my heart, and God is rejoicing in heaven, and the heavens are singing with me. That's the kind of giving everything you do. You might not be able to sing. So what? The words that you speak in song, God is hearing those words, and he feels a melody. There's a melody in your heart. The psalmist says, sing a new song unto the Lord. It's your song. This is you and God. You singing praises to your Father, and it's you and him in dialogue. Nobody has to even like it, glory to God, but it's the power and the anointing that flows with it, praise God. Take that connection with God. I mean, we don't separate the prayer, glory to God, and in our prayer rooms, glory to God, amen, we need to always be united and connected with God. Families praying together, whatever happened to that? Teaching the children how to pray, glory to God. Kids in school don't know how to pray, glory to God. They don't know don't even know the Psalms from the Bible. In my day, and I'm dating myself, but that's okay, I don't care. We had to have scriptures. We learned scriptures. You came in our morning devotions, you had to recite scripture. There was crime in my day, but not like it is today, glory to God, because people were praying, and not in the schools the way it is today, because the children even were praying. The teachers were prayer warriors. They prayed in the schools, glory to God, amen, and God stayed, amen, the enemy's hand from total destruction in the school. Of course, there's evil out there. It's going to be there, glory to God, amen. But when we got people that don't want God in any place, and especially when it has to do with our children, don't understand parents that don't want the Spirit of God to protect their children. You love your children so much, but you call your kids. What is that? That's just selfishness. That's just saying, I don't want to put anything before myself. And meanwhile, your child is suffering. So what if you don't believe there's a God? If it's wrong, it won't cost you nothing just to believe. But if it's right and you don't believe, you're the one that missed God, and your child suffers because of it. And the way these things are that's going on today, and the way people don't have a mind or a regard for human life, would you trust your child going to school? Would you trust your child even playing in the yard without the hand of God over them, without the protective covering of the Lord God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? And I'm not talking about the Big Bang that everybody's talking about that blew up and everything was in order. That's foolishness. Total foolishness. Whoever believed that, my God in heaven, here, it's some swampland over here in the West Coast, I want to tell you, because that's foolishness. A God, a creator. I mean, look around you. Glory to God. Amen. Things didn't just happen. There is a supreme being over us. He's our heavenly Father. He's the one that created us, and it's his love, glory to God, that even though we're still holding on to that one thing that we won't let go so we can fully be into total submission unto him so that we can be in the eternal life with him, even though we'll walk, some of us are still hanging on by a thread, that one thing that we won't let go, glory to God, he still loves us. He's still providing for us. He's still sending help, you know, sending a word. Some of you are walking away from the truth, and the truth is what saved you, saving your life, and you walk away and go step into a hole and fall in it, and then you wonder what happened, and because the truth was there, you turned away from it, you walked away from it. We're living in a day, glory to God, amen. We can't spend not one moment away from the living God. Seek the Lord, glory to God, amen. Jesus told the man, glory to God, to sell his possession and give to the poor. We don't even want to help the poor, glory to God. There are people that are poor because they make them. They want to be poor. They're able-bodied. There's nothing wrong with them. They can't get a job and work. They're just lazy. And then there are people that are poor, and they've done everything they can to survive, and they can't. They work and they don't make enough money. They can't even make enough money because they're being underpaid and worked hard, glory to God, overworked, if you want to know the truth, and underpaid, and now they can't find a decent place to live. And you can help them with all your millions, but you won't, all your billions, but you won't, glory to God. Amen. You pay millions of dollars for a stone to wear on your finger, and how many homes could have been bought with those millions of dollars, or how many miles could have been fed? Oh, my God. But just like God told the rich man, on that day, they will be held accountable, because you're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, when I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in jail, you didn't visit me. When I was fatherless, you didn't help me. Listen, you got to say, Lord, when did I do all of that? He said, in so much that you did it to either one of these little ones, you didn't do it unto me. Whatever you do, if you kill somebody, you kill in the body of Christ. Glory to God. You've taken a life, Jesus said, you took. That's my life you took. It don't belong to you. Glory to God. Every life belongs to God. You don't have the right. Glory to God. Amen. If you allow somebody, a child to go hungry, and you know that you're able to provide, able to help them out, glory to God, amen. Churches, glory to God, that are more than qualified, overly qualified financially to be an assistance to these places and these people, these homeless people. And it's getting cold in some areas where people are dying on the streets, or with shelters can't hold them, glory to God. And wealthy people can build more shelters, glory to God, so these people can have a place. Most of these people are not looking for handouts. They don't mind being on the streets. They work and try to get with them, but there are some people that don't mind, that love being on us, and they're going to be there. But there are some, glory to God, amen, that don't want you to give them a handout. They'll work. They'll do whatever it takes. Give them a job, glory to God, amen. Just one thing, that one thing that you can do. Your neighbor next door is suffering, and you got everything. You got money. You got shelter. You got clothes. You got your health, your food, your refrigerators, and your cupboard is running over, and these people are hungry. And you know this, and you're holding your back everything for yourself. You're hoarding up everything. That one thing that you won't even share, glory to God, you won't even give. Glory to God, that one thing, glory to God, when you give your tithes, to know that bills have to be paid in the church. I don't know how people can say that you don't have to give tithes, glory to God, to the church. The Bible don't tell you have to give tithes. This is foolishness. How are the bills going to get paid? We go to church and we sit up in church and we hit the light switch. We expect the lights to come on. We expect the musical equipment, the sound equipment to be working, and we expect the church to be cleaned and the pews to be in good shape, the holders, the chairs, the holders. We expect the communion stuff to be there. We expect Bibles to be there, hymnals. We expect everything when you walk in the church, everything to be right there where you expect it to be. Walk through the door, the floor don't cave in, but we don't want to give tithes and we don't want to give a good offering into the church. How is that going to happen? How are we going to take care of the house of God when the man or woman of God, amen, can't do this on their own? The set man and woman of God that God has put over your house, and I'm not giving my tithe this week because I want to buy this or that's all they want is money. All they want is money. Who do you think paying the bills? When you hit the light switch, the lights come on. There's that one thing that you like that you want to even give to the work of the gospel. You want to give your setup in a church and worship and have money in your pocket and put a dollar in the offering. Don't you know God sees that? And there's that one that only have one penny, like the lady in the Bible, and they pull that one penny in there, and then one day you look up and everything is well, and then you say, how did that happen for them? Because they gave God their last. And you who have more, and you won't. I mean, make sense, people. How do you expect bills to get paid in the house of the Lord? And there are some churches that are just abundantly wealthy, and you'll go and put more money there and to your local church. You won't, simply because, well, I'm not going to buy that car for now. I'm not going to buy that house. Why not? You should. They're slaving over your soul, crying out to God, bearing your burden, teaching you the word of God, keeping the sanctuary as the Lord had provided for them, praying for your provisions and your health. Why not? There's that one thing that you like that's slowing your progress in God. You want to get close to God? Glory to God. Start moving in the right direction. Start shaking off some of that stuff that's hindering you. Paul said we need to release ourselves from every weight that will easily beset you. Beset means to move you from something. Like if you're set in an area and you move from that, sometimes people are walking the walk, but they're so easily swayed and so easily moved. Somebody can come with a new teacher and say, I got this new word, and everybody goes flying and flocking over there, and then they get their hearts torn out, and now they flock back. Well, you know, there you don't have to always be so easily moved and beset. Shake that greed off of you, that desire to have stuff for yourself and not thinking about other people. People, let's share and let's give. Bring money into the storehouse so that folk and the other folk in the church will have and be blessed, so that somebody else will have a nice pretty dress or a nice suit to wear to church, glory to God, and you with all these nice clothes, amen, and they just get taking dust in your closet and you're not wearing them, and that person need an outfit. There's so much that we could do in the body of Christ. We expect the government to take care of us when the church is supposed to do their part as well. But when they can't, if you won't bring into the house of God, and there are some that can on the other hand. So it whatever that one thing you is, don't be like the rich man. Glory to God. The Bible says his face fell. In other words, he became so sad because he knew, man, it's no way I'm going to give up my wealth. There's no way I'm going to give up my billions of dollars. I'm a billionaire. I'm a multi-billionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a multi, and I'm going to give that up for the poor? Oh, no, he wants me to sell everything. He didn't say some of it. He said everything. Sell all that you have. And in that instance, people probably think, well, if I get close to God, he might tell me to sell all my wealth. He wouldn't do that. The heart is the heart. The man's heart was in his wealth. He was just God. Jesus was just letting them see where his focus was, where his true heart was. You say you kept all the laws, but you haven't. You're not a lover of the people. You're not a giver of the people. You don't love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul because you're so in love with your wealth. You have that one thing. You might have kept those other laws, but you still got that one thing, and that is a love of money. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. We know that money is not the root of all evil because you got to have money to survive. You got to pay your bills. You got to live. But it's the love of it that makes people do anything. People rob, steal, and kill for money. That's where evil comes in, the root of all evil. And this rich man loved his money so much, and Jesus saw his heart. Understand, people, that God sees the heart of man. Whatever you say from your mouth don't mean nothing. This man is talking good talk to the master. He's talking good talk to Jesus, and he's telling him, you know, I kept all these laws, and he's thinking he's impressing him, calling him good master, and I've kept all these laws from my youth up and trying to impress him, and he's already looking into his heart. He's looking past what he says. God looks past our words, and he looks into our spirit, and he sees that mess that's set up in our spirit. Yeah, you're saying you love me, but you can't stand your neighbor. Your neighbor's been hungry for days. You know that they have been, and you have abundance. You've thrown out more food than they've had in their house in a week. You've thrown out more than that in a day, and you won't even try to help them, but you say that you've done all. You all from your youth. Glory to God. Amen. So we learn here from this that there is one thing. And you're probably thinking, oh, well, you know, that's not me, and I don't do this and that and the other. But there is one thing. You are liking one thing, and I'm sure it's more than one. But find that one thing and fix it. Find that one thing. If it takes giving up for giving the right, giving up the wrong for the right, then do it. It's wrong to love money so much that you won't even share or you won't give or you won't help nobody else. It's all about you. It's all about me and mine. Glory to God. That's wrong. That's evil. And Jesus showed this with the rich man here when he spoke to him. It's a shame. He went away sad. He'd rather lose his soul. My God, he said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? He began to say, we back up into the 8th chapter. He was telling them, he said, is anything worth more than your soul? Oh, my God. There's nothing worth more than your soul. 837th verse in the 8th chapter, he said, if anyone's ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, oh, my God, the days that we're living in now are worse than they were back then. The Son of Man, he said, will be ashamed of him in the presence of his Father, in his holy presence. I don't want Jesus to say to me, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. Get out of my face. You know, who are you? Glory to God. Amen. So my desire is to focus on him. We're not perfect, but we're striving for perfection. Surely we can't let nothing, we can't love something so much that we can't lose it. You can lose a house. You can lose a car. You can lose finances. Glory to God, but you don't want to lose your soul. That's the main thing that you want to hold on to today. So if you're liking that one thing, glory to God, you're also liking the ability to give it up. Give up this flesh lifestyle, glory to God. You need to do it and give up the wrong for the right, glory to God, and hold on to the right. Hold on to holiness. Get yourself in right standing with God. If the Lord comes back tonight, ask yourself this question. Will I be in the right place? God said we need to be standing in a holy place, and he certainly is not talking about the building because we know that God is too big to dwell in a building. Glory to God. There's no building big enough to hold him. Solomon said that when he built the tabernacle of God, first temple, first cedar house for God. He said, Lord, I know that this place can't hold you. There's not a building in the world big enough to hold you. You're too big to sit in a building. But when we pray in this building, when we come to you and worship you in this building, when we come to you in this building and serve you, when we repent of our ways in this building and serve you, he said, when we turn from our wicked ways, when we cry out to you in this particular building, will you answer our prayer? That's what we have to understand. It's not the building, it's not the place, but where are you in your spirit? Where are you in your heart? Are you in right standing with God? Are you standing in a holy place, in a holy mind, in a holy spirit? I say to you tonight, glory to God, always, always remember that God is looking past the words that come from your mouth, past the things you do. Don't think, I'm not saying that he's discarding them, because he's not. He sees everything. But the most important thing is what's in your heart. What's in you? What's in your spirit? Is the Holy Ghost in you, the hope of glory on the inside of you? When he look into you, will he see himself? Glory, hashabatah. Or will he see something, glory to God, devious and dirty and wicked? If you say that you've repented of that thing, Get it out of your heart, out of your mind. Whatever you got to do to get rid of it, don't allow the enemy to bring that back to you, because when God comes to you, he's coming straight to your inner spirit. He's coming straight to your heart to see what's in there. Your lips can say anything, but your heart tells the truth. There's that one thing that you're lacking, and I implore you today to seek out the Lord for deliverance. Get rid of that one thing. Glory to God, amen, that your prayers be not hindered and that your fellowship with God will draw you closer to him in these last and evil days. We want to say God bless you. We love you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. And in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? He will direct your path. God bless you. This is Apostle Ernestine Cooper. Life's Construction Zone. We are determined to rebuild broken and torn lives one brick at a time. Just take this one step. I ask you tonight, glory to God, to shake yourself off. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord God, for goodness and mercy. And we thank you, God, for watching over us and keeping us to this appointed time. We thank you for these, your people, for listening ears and hearts and minds, Father God. We ask for a stirring in the spirit, Lord God, asking that you cover them under the blood of Jesus, Lord God. And Father, that one thing, Lord, that needs to be shaken off, Father, so that the people will be in right standing with you, Father, we ask for the help, Lord God. Give them the heart and the mind to loose themselves, Lord God, because we're coming to the day when none of this other stuff would matter, Lord God. Asking, Lord God, that you spread your word throughout the land, Father God, because these times, Lord God, are coming fast, Lord God. We're in a time now when a year looks like a month, and a month looks like a week, and a week looks like a day, and a day looks like an hour. Time is moving quickly, and people are sleeping and sluggish. Father, we ask that you wake them up, that they rise up, glory to God, and seek the Lord. Cry loud and spare not, in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Everyone be blessed. We love you. Until next week, be encouraged in the Lord.